The Around the The Around the NFL podcast is quicker than fast.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. I'm Greg Rosenthal here for Dan Hansis in the host chair, surrounded by a couple of heroes, Mark Sessler and Chris Wesseling.
Hey, Greg.
Rolls off the tongue, that new name, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. If you didn't notice, Matt Money Smith in the intro, maybe you heard me say, we are now the Around the NFL podcast. What do you guys think about that?
Also the Around the NFL blog.
That's true. Well, we're not really a blog. I always kind of shudder a little whenever Dan says blog on the show or whenever anyone says blog, because it's not really a blog. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
It's like a news page or something.
You know, Around the NFL news page.
Because I think of a blog as like chronological order, and you know what I mean? It's different.
I like being part of a gigantic corporate wheel that after you've become comfortable with a name, which is sort of like the color, you know, the paint your house would be painted in, you come home one day and bang.
Yeah.
It's a different color. It's a nice name, though. I'm 100% and I approve it 100%. Couldn't be happier.
Do you approve, Chris?
Sure. I don't care.
At first, I was like, I don't know, because, you know, a little pull behind the curtain here. We're also launching a show on NFL Network called the Around the NFL Show or something. I don't know. Around the NFL. It used to be Around the League.
What part will you be playing on this show?
I'm not. I'm saying
you are Around the NFL.
I'm saying we, as in the NFL Media News Group. I'm not on this show. I wish I was.
Well, the television version continues to ignore our existence.
I'm sure they need a McLovin Michael Sarah hybrid.
So they're changing the name, and we heard from high on above that for a little corporate synergy action, Around the NFL was going to be our name too. So we are in the process of changing the Twitter handle, and if you happen to have that Around the NFL handle, we're coming for you legally, and we're going to be changing it.
It does solve one sticky issue for us. I think probably at least a fourth of our Twitter followers were Georgia-based individuals that thought that we were dealing with just Atlanta sports, which never that's anything but
ATL.
As an Atlanta native, that's why I was here.
Exactly. Well,
that's how we got you as a producer. We're happy to have you. Yeah.
When I made my New Year's resolutions in January, you know, pretty close to the top was more corporate synergy in my life.
U.S. especially, that stands out with you.
Given the option, though, I never really loved Around the League as a name. I inherited that when I got here, was already here. If given the choice between Around the NFL and Around the League from day one, I like Around the NFL better.
There's lots of leagues. There's only one NFL.
Exactly. But no one call it ATN because that's Around the National. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh.
It's just stupid. Don't say ATNFL either because that just, it looks weird at NFL.
There's no acronym here.
Just say the name. Is that so hard? That's it.
We will do what we are told to do.
All right. It's going to be a big show today. We've got our NFC preview. We're going to go through each and every NFC division, give you our predictions, some surprise teams making the playoffs, other, you know, news. We're also going to go back into the elimination chamber and eliminate teams from the team of Around the NFL discussion. I don't know. That part doesn't sound as good. Team of ATL sounded better. Don't you think?
You just call it our team.
Yeah, whatever.
Is it too late to turn back now?
Whatever our team is, we're going to eliminate some teams in the NFC. We're also going to talk to Giants linebacker John Beeson at the end of the show. So he's going to give his preview of the NFC, some topics of the Giants and the Panthers, all sorts of good stuff. But first, let's get to a little news. We've already heard from him. TD, what's going on?
Guys, doing good. I'm trying to get used to it. We're in a new studio, and I'm trying to get used to it around the NFL myself, working on the graphics package, because we're going to be filming some of this podcast on video as well. So
that's
pretty
fancy.
Yeah. I wish I could show the people, but it's not approved yet.
I'll take a picture of it and tweet it.
It's awesome. We have a great-looking graphic in the studio on a monstrous TV right behind my head, and we've got a nice new graphic. Yeah. A lot of listeners noticed for the podcast.
Iron Man-ish.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's really good.
We mean business. All right, let's do a little news.
Come on, player. What's that? What's up with that?
Come on, Damashek. That of course, is Dave Damashek. Doesn't want us to do the news, I guess, but we're going to go forward. Josh Gordon, we finally learned, Mark, suspended for 1 year. His suspension was upheld by an independent arbitrator who probably not getting a Christmas card from the Sessler family this year. You seemed a little frustrated by how long it took for us to find out about Gordon's suspension.
I don't think I'm on an island with that opinion.
No.
I mean, it's I understand, number one, the league doesn't hand down any suspension without putting a lot of work into it. I think we can assume that. It's not a knee-jerk thing. But this was, if you're going to walk around calling John Idzik, Jets general manager, the Glacier, what do you call Harold Henderson, the arbitrator, who just sat on this for weeks? The guy's just out on his porch sipping iced tea. At some point, maybe I'll drop a decision on one of the NFL's franchises that will alter their season to the core. When I feel like it. Don't rush me. I'll pick up the phone.
Maybe it was complicated. Maybe there was a lot to consider.
I'm sure it was.
Sounds like a guy who'd hang out with Claude Humphrey. Just out on the front porch sipping his tea and lemonade,
yeah,
letting the world go
leisurely,
by.
Well, you know what it is with these arbitrators? They're not NFL employees. They might not know who the Cleveland Browns is. I just imagine it as he has some bungalow or something in the Bay Area, and he has a stack of files, and he has to go through each one. And like the Josh Gordon one, it seems really important to us, but he's got a lot of other cases to arbitrate first, and he's just going through them one by one. Maybe that's what happened.
Well, that would be reasonable from his angle, but there were other angles here. I don't know. It's been announced, so it's here at least.
So do you think, were you getting hopeful that there was going to be less games, and do you think this offense can survive?
The first question, there was, I think, some hope from a lot of people that thought if it's taking this long, there must be something complex that suggests maybe something other than a full year. But they ruled that way. I'm not entirely surprised at that either. I think that's what we initially thought would be the home run result here. He's gone. And honestly, even with him in the lineup, there were a lot of issues with this offense. But stripping him off of any team would have been a huge loss. In Cleveland, you can't find another playmaker on that offense besides Josh Gordon unless Jordan Cameron were to truly repeat what he did last season. There is a lot of reason for concern that Cleveland could be a bottom five, bottom three offense.
Kyle Shanahan has
the worst offense in the NFL.
Shanahan has produced numbers, fantasy yards and whatnot, everywhere he's been. That's a true statement. Should he be given a little bit of credit? I mean, a little bit of, hey, this guy has a proven track record of producing a lot of yards wherever he's been.
Sure, give him credit.
Well,
also, give him all those players he had in the past, too.
Some of those early Texans teams, I guess you're right.
They've got a Hall of Famer, and Arian Foster was the best running back in the NFL for a minute or two.
And there was a stat on Gordon in terms of how many yards he's had in the first two seasons compared to everyone else in NFL history, and he's right there at the top.
Yeah.
So it's a devastating loss for the Browns. The timing was unfortunate. I don't know. We were going to do the Browns potentially as team of
Well, I think that's been off the shelf.
Happened.
Really?
No possible way.
That's been off the shelf.
They are currently the most boring team in the NFL to me. I'm sorry, Mark.
By the way,
no, I take no offense.
Only two receivers with more yards than Gordon in his first 2 years since the AFL-NFL merger, Randy Moss and Jerry Rice.
I think the Titans.
That's a good list.
Titans might be a little more boring.
I would rather watch like three Titans games than one Browns game.
All right.
We'll see.
Let's move on to the other big news of the week. Logan Mankins traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know it's a big trade. And in exchange, the Patriots got back a fourth-round pick, and they got back Tim Wright, who was a guy who was supposedly on the roster bubble in Tampa. We'll talk about him in a second. You know it's a big trade when I heard three or four different just exclamations throughout our newsroom every 30 seconds or minute when they learned of this dude just goes, whoa! Like, hey, wow! You know what I mean? Did you hear those little eruptions all over the place?
I think I was one of the ones erupting.
You were.
Well, I mean, I did hear someone on Twitter correctly point out that it is one of the lamest reasons that Twitter ever blew up.
But
for a six-time Pro Bowler?
Yeah, exactly. It did, though. Dez Bryant, there was breaking news on him yesterday. There was this Seahawks fine $300,000. There's this Josh Gordon news. You know what's going to be the most read story out of all of those on NFL.com? Logan Mankins, by far.
No, it'd probably be some like some goofy helmet some kid wore or some player wore, and then everybody will click on it.
I'll go with Wesley on that one.
Or some out of nowhere fine for something. People eat that stuff up.
People love trades. I mean, we know that.
People love trades. One of the most
you
popular.
You put a picture of a helmet with a bunch of stuff going on. It will get clicks all over.
One of the most
page.
Popular stories today, seriously, is Broncos trade for Giants kicker Brandon McManus. People love their trades.
They do.
Do we give the Patriots too much credit that we just see them trade away a six-time Pro Bowler who played well last year, and we just say, oh, well, it's the Patriots. I guess it must be okay.
Is that too much credit?
I don't know.
It's too much.
I'm asking.
They win every year. I mean, you have to give them credit. Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. To me, you immediately think of Lawyer Malloy, cut about this time, 1999, 2000, a long time ago.
2002.
And that was the first sign of how cold and calculating the Patriots are on personnel matters. You think of Richard Seymour getting rid of him as his salary started to outpace what they expected him to do on the field. Getting rid of Randy Moss when it shocked everyone because he wanted more money and they didn't think he was that player anymore. So there is plenty of precedent here.
Well, and the precedent goes back 22 years when Belichick, who's always been, you know, cold-hearted is not a bad term if you're a talent evaluator. He cut Bernie Kosar when that town absolutely melted, saying this guy won't do anything else at the NFL level, and he didn't.
And he's built up so much goodwill in Boston, but not enough that the sports radio still doesn't get upset about stuff like this. They still get upset, which seems silly to me. We found out from Ian Rappaport, our NFL media insider, of course, that Logan Mangans was asked to take a pay cut before they traded him. He was not interested in doing that. They clearly just did not see him as an elite talent. I think Marcus Cannon, who was on the bench for them, is a factor in this, that they think he can be a really good starter. Maybe it's not going to be a huge drop-off. And I don't think they plan to have Mankins on the roster next year at that salary. So they thought instead of cutting him after the season, let's get an interesting tight end and in a mid-round draft pick for him.
Unless you're a former offensive lineman or a former coach, if you hear anyone analyzing this trade and saying the Patriots were wrong, I mean, just ignore him. How could you possibly know how good Logan Mankins is right now?
Well, I know that he just used to be the rare guard that would do a lot of things you would actually notice in the running game, especially. He would just be devastating and be fun to watch. You didn't see that quite as much, and you saw him give up more sacks last year for sure. I mean, you could see him give up 7, 8, 9 sacks. He struggled a little bit in pass protection. He's known still as a good run blocker, and the Bucs are desperate. They needed some line help, better than Richie Incognito.
Well, I don't think the Bucs fleeced. I mean, no one got fleeced here necessarily, but I would say that the Patriots are a successful organization, pointing to the deals Wes talked about, because they trade players right before they decline.
He's 32.
Yeah, you get some value. Bad organizations trade players after the decline is evident, and then they get fleeced in deals.
How about the gamesmanship by the Bucks on this one?
What?
Bring in Richie Incognito just to get the Patriots to pull the trigger on the trade. I like that.
I don't know if that's what happened.
That's what I'm going with.
Ian said that the Bucks initially called looking for one of the backup guards on New England, looking for some depth, and the Patriots were kind of like, well, how about that Tim Wright guy in the Bucks? Well, how about Logan Mankins? And then it gets going.
That's how trade should happen.
Yeah, that's how the sausage gets made. Do we think Tim Wright's much of a factor here?
I think he can be. He'll obviously have to learn the offense. He has very intriguing wide receiver skills for a tight end. This has nothing to do with Gronkowski and being ready for week one.
Everyone keeps bringing that up.
They don't play the same position.
No. Yeah, that doesn't matter. It's just another pair of hands, and they're thin at that position.
It's more of an Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, right. He plays the move tight end, the Aaron Hernandez role. He's 6'4", 220. He's built like Julio Jones, not like Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, he's closer in probably what they'll ask him to do to Julian Edelman, even though they're obviously completely different body types and players, but ultimately this guy's a slot receiver.
Weren't they looking?
No, he's not.
They're going to move him around. He was playing wide out a lot for the Bucks.
Weren't they talking about potentially using LaFell as an Aaron Hernandez type?
Yes.
This is a better fit, it seems.
Yeah, and he and LaFell aren't that different in body type.
They're going to have a lot of receivers that have 6 for 90 one game and then go off the map for two more, because between Amendola, Tompkins, now I'd throw Wright into that mix. Edelman's probably the only one that's going to be consistently a guy that you get targets.
Here's some fantasy advice that we didn't throw out on our last fantasy football extravaganza. On this offense, ignore everyone but Gronk, Edelman, Brady, and Vereen.
Fantasy football.
You can take your flyers on Kembrell Tompkins. Ridley might frustrate you a little bit, but basically Vereen, Edelman, Gronk.
TD, why can't we get some backup singers or something with that? Some dancers.
That was Kid Rich's apartment. You know, old producer Kid Rich. That was she had the backup singers and all that stuff.
Remember she would make some songs or something?
That was on one of those tracks.
I remember.
Her theme song.
Yeah.
Bonkers sex.
I'm just saying, production value. We got videos coming in here. Wouldn't it be cool?
I don't want to get you excited, Greg, but I mentioned this on the last show. I see New England as a sneaky playoff type entry in the AFC.
Well, I didn't want to...
Kind of an upstart.
I didn't want to compliment the Patriots and all their previous trades and stuff. Ooh. This will be the first Sessler that actually happens.
All right.
Wow.
Although, poor...
Aaron Rodgers' injury.
Yeah, that was... You kind of made...
That's like the only one that happened.
You made your reputation on that one. All right, that's enough news because we want to get to our NFC preview. And without further ado, I think let's just get into it. Let's start with the NFC East. And Chris, you've been waging an internal war over the last 2 weeks. Washington Redskins, Philadelphia Eagles. You had one team in front at first. Now you're leaning another way. Why all the confusion?
There is still an internal struggle here. There's a duality in me. I've been thinking Redskins all offseason because I thought RG3 was returning to 2012 form. There's no reason why he should not. There is a reason that he's not a pocket passer yet. And his struggles in the preseason have really concerned me. And just on a visceral level, it just disturbs the hell out of me that he doesn't know how to do a baseball slide.
Yeah.
I can't get over that. And if you want to avoid an injury, look, I mean, honestly... The 6-year-olds can do baseball slides. This is just stubbornness. So that bothers me, but I guess I'm torn because I know the Eagles have been lucky. They got lucky on injuries, third downs, turnovers last year. Those things tend to even out the next year. But at the end of the day, are you taking Chip Kelly or are you taking Jay Gruden?
I'm taking Chip Kelly.
I'll take the genius.
That's my pick.
I'll take the one who is a genius in the conversation.
Here's an idea about that sliding, which also got Cam Newton injured. Because he doesn't know how to slide either.
There are at least three, Vic, Newton, and Griffin, who cannot slide.
Jake Locker takes a lot of unnecessary hits too. Although he should be able to slide because he was a baseball player. But
yes.
He's just kind of reckless. Make that an event at the combine.
The quarterback
slide. 30 yards and then down, or 20 yards. You know, it'd be 10
this
yards
is
down.
Your best idea since yesterday's get rid of the Offensive Player of the Year award.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that on Friday. We're going to do our awards show. We can talk about the most useless award in the history of sports. You're taking the Eagles, Mark. Who are you taking in second place in the NFC?
In that
East?
Division, don't think that really matters.
Well, you still have to put the teams in order in some sort of order.
Before we put the Redskins to bed.
Well, we're not putting them to bed. We can keep talking.
I believe that their defense is significantly better. Jason Hatcher, we've killed that signing because he's 32 years old and they gave him a lot of money up front. He looked great.
All right, you're right.
He put how did you phrase the clown suit thing, Mark?
An ornately crafted clown suit.
He put an ornately crafted clown suit on Pro Bowl guard Marshall Yanda last week. Mm. Bull rushed him right back into Flacco. He looks good. Keenan Robinson is an upgrade on London Fletcher, last year's version of London Fletcher. I think they're upgraded on defense altogether.
The problem is they didn't upgrade their defensive coordinator.
You love Jim Hansen.
Well, I think he's fine, but why... Why does he keep that job year after year? They do look pretty good on paper
cronyism.
In the front seven.
He's friends with Gruden. That's
cronyism.
That's it.
I guess so. That's it.
Well, it's not a meritocracy. It's not based on, you know what? You dialed up one of the most horrid, most offensive situations ever on defense last season. So you know what? It's a good idea to keep you around.
Are you guys excited for the Keenan Robinson era?
Yeah.
I mean, he seems like a little flashy. Flashy player there. They could rush the passer.
Look, London Fletcher had a great borderline Hall of Fame career, but he was a liability last season.
Griffin could play mediocre and have okay numbers. That's the thing. I think there's so many weapons there that he could be somewhat disappointing, but it will be masked by Pierre Garçon taking a 10-yard dump-off pass 70 yards, and DeSean Jackson doing the same thing, and Jordan Reed messing up your mind. I don't know. Have you come up with who your second-place team was, Bart?
Yeah, well, no, I'd come up with it last week, and it's Washington, just based on, I thought, of any team in the division, they went out and added the most on offense. And yet the preseason concerns me for the same reason it concerns Wes. But I look at the Giants, and I see a very bland team, and then Dallas is a downright disaster on one half of the football. So Washington, second place. But again, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. These three teams will be completely adrift.
The NFC East is as down as it's been in a while, and it's kind of been stuck there for a few years. Is there a chance, though, that I feel like, you know, that we might be underrating the Eagles, that they have a chance to go 12-4, 13-3. They get to play the AFC South. That's nice. Everyone looks at their schedule. They see 49ers and Seahawks because they got to play that division. And so it looks hard. And yeah, that's hard, but maybe you can beat San Francisco in Philadelphia. Why not? You get the AFC South out of division, and you get six games against the rest of this lousy group. Couldn't they go 5-1, 6-0 against some of these NFC East teams?
Yeah, it's possible. I don't think we're underrating them, though. I don't think they're as good of a team as they were in the second half of last year. And I think they'll miss DeSean Jackson.
They ranked fairly low in our power poll for a team that we all had winning the division other than Chris Wessling. At least a week ago, that's what he had. They are 10th, which is below teams like the Cardinals and the Chargers. You guys had the Redskins second. I had the Redskins last. I actually had...
But you hate the Redskins. That's been verified.
Well, I'm not a... I don't think they're going to be good.
As a rule,
defense.
As a rule, you don't like the Redskins.
Well, they had this whole long era, Jim Zorn, a little before that, where they were always on national TV all the time, even though they were the most boring team ever. And I think I've held that against them.
That's how I feel about the Giants.
That's how I feel about the Cowboys. So it's how we feel about most of the NFC East.
What about the Giants, though? They still have a coach that's won a couple Super Bowls. They have a defense that you could argue was one of the best seven or eight defenses in the league last year without Jason Pierre-Paul being healthy. They added some talent in the secondary. Couldn't the Giants be a little frisky?
I love this argument that the Giants were one of the six or seven or eight best defenses
they were
in the league last year.
They were.
They gave up 35 points a game over the first 6 weeks of the season.
They stunk at the beginning
of
the season.
Those six games still count.
Half of those Eli Manning picks, you know, they had to deal with a lot of interceptions, a lot of bad luck. They were pretty good down the stretch.
I would have no issue with New York going like 8-8. Mm-hmm. That's who they are this year, I think. They're a nice 500
Here's
team.
A more interesting question.
Wow, you just put our host right under the bus.
Well, I know,
there.
Please ask some questions. Help me out.
Eli Manning. He's going to enter a contract year in 2015. If he has another year this year like he did last year,
he's gone.
So is
he's
Coughlin.
Gone?
They're
Coughlin.
All gone. I think so.
The old loyalty base to Manning will be shred away.
You said this year like last year. So that's leading the league in interceptions by a lot, by 27-28. And if they stuck with him again after that, that's their fault. That's like following someone on Twitter that annoys you.
He's an icon. Everyone tells me he's got to be a first ballot Hall of Famer because he won two Super Bowl MVP trophies that were stolen from Justin Tuck and Michael Strahan.
You just always hold that up.
There's a lot of anger from this group around this division.
Yeah.
You know what? They've got it coming.
Well, we're going to ask John Beeson a little bit about it later, but I mean, there's anger even within their own team. Ben McAdoo, the new offensive coordinator, he's watching this lousy offense in New York, and he's getting PO'd at practice.
I don't blame him. You got a number one pick at wide receiver that simply refuses to get on the field. You've got a quarterback that is, as they say, a first ballot Hall of Famer, according to some, who seems perplexed. And then on preseason games, they've looked completely stillborn. How about we get it together? The season is like 10 days away.
The team we disagreed on the most, actually, me versus the two of you, were the Dallas Cowboys. I had them very close to the middle of my power poll. I actually had them second in the division. I had the Giants third and the Redskins fourth. And you both, I believe, had the Cowboys as one of the worst teams in the NFL.
I think I had them about 25th. I had
26,
them
yeah.
definitely the lowest team with an actual quarterback.
Right, which is why I picked them in the middle of the pack. Any team with a quarterback, you know, and Dez Bryant and Tyron Smith, I don't know. He could win 7 games in this division. I'd like their chances against teams like Washington and New York.
I just don't buy the argument that their defense can't be any worse because they finished 32nd. Defenses get worse. Defenses break new records every year because that's the era we're in. And they could definitely be worse. They have less talent than they did last year.
Yeah, if offenses are going to continue to break records, the ineptitude of defenses will have to do the same. That's just how it works. But I had them at 30th, which might be unfair because you are right, Greg. If Romo, Bryant, and DeMarco Murray are healthy, it's an if, but
Murray and Romo don't have the best track records the last couple of years for staying out of the trainers.
No, they don't. But I mean, I think you have to be completely inept on offense and be in a division that's housing you, and they're in a bad division where they're going to sneak some wins. So I might have been wrong on 30th, but I have no issue saying that they'll be a bottom 7 or 8 team.
All right, we've gone through the NFC East. We got to go right now into the around the league. Oh, around the NFL. It's going to take us a while to get used to this. Elimination Chamber. That's what we do when you get eliminated. And for new listeners, we are trying to pick a team that we can support as a podcast all together. Last year it was the Panthers. That was our team of 2013. We're slowly going through the teams and trying to pick who's going to be our team of 2014. We hope to have a team before week one, but it has to be unanimous, and I have a feeling it's not going to happen before week one. But let's at least throw some teams out. All right, NFC East.
The whole division, they're gone.
They're just gone. The whole division? Is there any case?
It sounds like
any case
the
for the
Redskins
Eagles?
Make you angry. The Giants make me angry. The Cowboys make Mark angry. And I don't want the Eagles as a team of ATL.
I would not vote against the Eagles. I'd vote for them. But I don't know if all three of us need to clear them through, the Eagles are out.
Well, there is a factor here. There is a man that's not in the room right now. And I can just hear Dan Hansis laughing hysterically at the idea that he would somehow allow a Chip Kelly-led team to be the team of the Around the NFL podcast.
Then let's save ourselves a couple weeks from now when we debate this and eliminate the entire division.
So no love for the Redskins?
They're out. They're out.
No, their quarterback's terrible.
I feel lighter.
Well, first of all,
you're gone.
The Redskins employ Joe Theismann, so that's all I need to say.
Moving on before a shadowy league figure walks in here, let's talk a little bit about the NFC North. And I'm going to go through our power poll rankings of them. The Green Bay Packers, number 1 in the NFC North, number 2 overall, and will be featured prominently in my predictions throughout. So we really like the Packers to win the division. We have the Bears in second, the Lions after that, and the Vikings 4th, but overall not ranked too low, 23rd overall, which is pretty good for a last-place team. Do you think there's any chance any of these three teams actually make a run and challenge the Packers?
I have we did these predictions a bit ago, and I know Greg and I both are warming up to the concept of the Vikings mm-hmm. being a sneaky team. This is the opposite of the NFC East. All 4 of these teams can make the playoffs, and it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, any combination of the 4 can make the playoffs, and I would be fine with that.
Hmm. Vikings would be a fun playoff team. Good story.
Ever since Aaron Rodgers did his William Tecumseh Sherman impression and blazed through Georgia in 2010 on the way to the Super Bowl, he's won 75% of his games. That means the Packers are going 12-4 even if the defense is okay. I think the defense is much better. I think the Packers are the class of this division and no one else comes close.
The best group of weapons Aaron Rodgers has ever had, I think. Maybe you could make an argument his second year.
I don't think it is. I keep hearing that. And
Here's why. Because weapons aren't just wide receivers. The wide receivers are great, but you have 3 different running backs, which right now look pretty good.
It's a good running game.
And I think the offensive line, if you wanted to count that as a weapon, I think it's not perfect, but it's probably in better shape right now than it's been since Rodgers took over.
If they still had Jamichael Finley, I would agree with you. But I don't think the receiving weapons are as good. Boykin is unproven. I have no reason to believe he's...
He looks good, though, when he plays.
I have no reason to believe he's as good as James Jones. He hasn't really stood out in the preseason yet. I don't think Davante Adams is ready to contribute.
That's a problem.
So I don't think they're as good as they were in 2010, 2011.
But they got the running game. That's a big fact. Eddie Lacy's a monster weapon.
It is a
weapon.
Huge factor. Well, I wrote a piece today on Packers coaches saying they believe Lacy could lead the NFL in rushing this year, and I don't think that's a stretch at all.
Well, that suggests also that they're willing to take some of the heat off of Rodgers having to do everything. Rodgers is one of the handful of quarterbacks that if you have a receiver that might not flourish on another team, they will in Green Bay's system.
And you talked about the continuity that the Saints have over the years with all the same players. I mean, you have Rodgers and McCarthy and enough offensive DNA that's been around with them together that they can just do things in a more advanced way than other teams. I love them this year. I think they're winning the Super Bowl. They're my pick. I guess we blew it. We got to do our Super Bowl picks another show, but that's basically it. I like a lot of these teams. I have the Bears in the playoffs. I believe I'm the only one that has the Bears in the playoffs, but Chris Wessling, you have a surprising team out of this division in the playoffs.
I have the Lions as the sixth team in the NFC playoffs. I feel like there are five obvious picks, really, in the NFC. Your NFC East winner, and then Seahawks, Packers, Saints, and 49ers. So to me, it comes down to who's the best team out of the field, and I feel like the Lions have too much firepower for everyone else.
I struggle to trust them. A, they play inside, which is hard on the eyes.
That's fair.
It's one Minnesota's outside now.
You know, the other night, I was forced to watch the Lions play, and then they switched the TV over to the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle, and it's like suddenly human life entered the hemisphere.
Were you being waterboarded at the time?
Detroit Stadium, silent, like the middle of the night in someone's house, other than maybe you can hear some electricity and some piping. Go to Seattle, and it's an explosion. I cannot root for a team that plays inside of a dome, and I'm not just kidding around. I mean it.
I know you do, and I appreciate that.
I'll veto that till the end.
Well, it's a problem, Mark, that we had to pay all this money to bring along another around the NFL writer this year just because you refused to cover games inside a dome, and that left such a big hole in our schedule.
Well, I didn't have a problem going to the Super Bowl, which was in a dome.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm willing to
bend. You make
it
sound like domes are quiet. Domes are often the noisiest places. I mean, the Superdome.
Not in Atlanta and not in Detroit, not on television.
It shows how much
stock
you...
We don't need to go down a wormhole here, but...
It shows how much stock you have around here that they did hire someone just to replace your production in dome games.
I wasn't aware that was the dynamic. I don't think Detroit's going to make the playoffs for other reasons. They're going to find a way to crumble like they always do. Sometimes it just comes down to human nature. Matthew Stafford is not the guy they say, oh, this guy's completely reborn, this and that. We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out. I'm not buying it yet.
Stafford's at the point of his career. He's kind of like getting to where Jay Cutler has now been for a year or two. He's kind of at the point you got to show that you're different to believe it anymore. That he's a very good starting quarterback. Maybe, you know, slightly better than average, which is worth a lot. You know, if you line up all 32 quarterbacks, Stafford is probably he's ranked above the median point. But is he ever going to take that next step? Have you seen any reason to believe that?
The median point is the AD scale.
Right. Well, I kind of was thinking the median is like 16, because that's probably where Stafford is, 14, 15, something like that. I don't trust this defense. Can you name their defensive coordinator right now?
Terrell Austin.
Terrell Austin. Never really been a coordinator at the pro level. I don't know. I'm not too excited about just because Vince Lombardi's grandson is in the league.
How is the Bears defense any better?
It's terrible. The difference is that I really trust Mark Trestman, Cutler, Marshall. I do trust Cutler.
How do you trust Cutler?
I trust Cutler under Trestman.
How?
Because Trestman made him a better quarterback last year. He helped make Josh McCown better. He's turning Jimmy Clausen around.
He got outplayed by his backup last year.
Who, Cutler? Yeah, by a little.
What I trust is Mike Zimmer's ability to get the most out of his defense.
Ooh.
And I like Norv Turner at the coordinator level. We've already seen his effects on Matt Cassel. They've got Cordarrelle Patterson. They've got Kyle Rudolph. There's a lot of things
they're
going
frisky.
On.
Yeah, they're frisky.
And
I,
you know what?
I like this team.
They're playing outdoors in Minnesota through the thick of winter. This is a team I can get behind.
I know. I like this team. I picked the Bears to the playoffs. It's been a week. I almost am I would think about the Vikings. I think they're going to be frisky, but I'm sticking with my Bears pick. We've gone through the division. Now let's talk about which teams should at least survive this round of elimination for the team of the NFL podcast. I know the Packers are a great team. Are they too good to consider? I mean, we are picking them pretty far.
I'll keep them.
Well, okay, that's fine. But, I mean, we're going to pick the Green Bay Packers as the team of NFL.
I think they're going to get eliminated eventually.
A big part of the team of ATL is who's fun to watch.
All right, the Packers.
They're in the top three for me on fun to watch.
The Packers can make it through, I guess. They're never going to be the team, though. Why bother? Let's kill them. You want to kill them?
I want to save
him. All right, he wants to push him forward. We'll push him forward.
I want to save every team in this division except for the Bears, but I know you guys like the Bears.
I think we should save the Bears. I'd like to
talk
about
that. I would be willing
more.
To veto the Bears.
Let's get rid of the Lions, though. There's no way we're choosing the Lions as the team of the NFL.
I would agree with you.
Right?
Okay.
They're never going to make it to the
deciding
end.
Factor
the Packers
is,
aren't either, probably.
The deciding factor is people laugh about this. Mark's absolutely right about dome teams. Sorry.
All right. Lions, you're out.
The Vikings are interesting, and Twitter follower Tim Gomez told me today if the Vikings become the team of around the NFL, he will help me eat my softball pants.
I don't know if that's allowed. Is that allowed? We don't want to – there could be legal reasons.
Yeah, I'm not sure we suddenly start abridging the rules around that penalty that you've drawn upon yourself.
That's interesting. Now, we could
try, though, Chris.
Okay. Just 2 weeks away, right? What is it, 2.5 weeks now?
We need to get
Will
on.
The season get here already? Just get here.
We need to get someone to contact the Food Network to make sure all this is done safely.
Wait, no, it's a week from tomorrow the season starts. God, okay, that's great. I'm glad. Doesn't that feel better? This has been a tough month. Let's get through August.
Let's get to the NFC South.
Yeah. We all take the Saints to win the division. You guys have the Saints number one. Really, this is the team you guys think is going to win the Super Bowl. Chris, you wrote a big poem to them the other week on the podcast. So I'm going to throw it to Mark. Why are you just so convinced that the Saints are the team for this year?
Well, I feel like we talked about them recently, and it's for me, I think they've, you know, again, it's a team where you've got Sean Payton, Drew Brees. That team doesn't do anything but win 12 games unless there's an injury to Brees. It's the only way they don't have a winning record. They're going to win the division. I don't see a big problem with that in the NFC South. They've gone out and they've added weapons. You got Jairus Byrd on defense at safety, along with Kenny Vaccaro. I think people at the end of this year they'll be in the discussion as the best safety duo along with Seattle. There's good reason for that. On offense, we love Brandon Cooks, obviously. And, you know, Wesley's been hot on the revival of Mark Ingram, and they've got an interesting backfield. They found a way to redo their wide receiver group and their backfield and get faster and younger. And what's not to like?
I don't think just handing them you can't just hand them the division. On paper, you're right, they're good, but, you know, they didn't win the division last year. They didn't win the division before
We didn't think they were good last year. We correctly identified their weaknesses last year. They have addressed them, and they will win this division.
But they were pretty good last year.
They
ended up
good.
Being about a top eight team. That was about where they deserved to be.
And we realized all along they were flawed when we predicted the Panthers to beat them for the division title. They had too many weaknesses last year. They have no weaknesses this year.
On a down year with Peyton and Brees, you still win 10, 11 games.
Yeah. Their defense has never been this good, or it never been this promising. I know it was good last year, but to add Byrd in a second year of Rob Ryan, now we actually know Junior Gallette and Akeem Hicks is looking better and Cameron Jordan. That dome should be rocking. The only thing I could think is maybe some cornerback depth. Teams could throw on them a little bit, but it's tough. We were talking about it coming back from lunch today. We couldn't come up with what's a good weakness for this team. Maybe offensive tackles? The tackles?
Well, they love their left tackle, even though he's untested. That Brees said, you know, in a couple weeks ago, he's been outstanding.
So we all love the Saints. Second place in this division, who you got?
I think I have the Falcons.
Yeah.
But it's not like they're way better than the Bucs or the Panthers. To me, it's kind of coin flip territory or paper, rock, scissors on all three of those teams. To me, I have total confidence in their offense. I do believe their offensive line is much improved. Julio Jones and Roddy White are awesome. They're both healthy. And I don't think their defense is quite as bad as everyone thinks.
What do you see as their biggest weakness?
I would say the defense, even though it's not as bad as everyone thinks, it's still mediocre. They don't have any pass rushing to speak of.
They don't have anyone exciting. Who are you getting excited about on their defense? That's bad.
That's a fair point.
That's what I look for in defenses. Where are the players that are going to win one-on-one matchups consistently and make big plays? I don't see it. And you better hope those young quarterbacks, Alford and Trufant, are as good as, you know, some people think, because if they're not, they could be a disaster on defense. They haven't looked that good in the preseason, for what it's worth.
I had Carolina as my number two team. I think that we saw what was happening back in February and March, and it felt like the roof was caving in and here comes the wind. But they've done a fine job, I think, with the, you know, Gettleman is so determined to get this team out of their situation cap-wise. But Kelvin Benjamin, they had to hit on this guy, and the early returns suggest that it's true. And that was had that not worked, had they gone and got Odell Beckham and he's gone for a month sitting around, that team is a disaster house. But I think that they've got a deep backfield, and if Cam Newton is less hobbled than he looks right now, I'm all right with them.
Here's the thing. They weren't that great of an offense last year, and they were the number two seed in the NFC. So all they need to do really is to minimize how much worse they get and hope the defense is still this good. And on paper, we've seen the secondary flying around in the preseason, and on paper, the front seven's as good as any team in the NFL. They could have the number one defense. I don't think we'd be stunned.
We're missing their big weakness here.
Yes.
Everybody talked about the wide receivers all offseason. The offensive line is more of a problem.
Yeah.
Byron Bell got worked over by Chandler Jones. He's not a good left tackle. Nate Chandler at right tackle is a converted defensive end who's unproven. The guards did – the two starting guards did not play for the Panthers last year.
One's coming off an ACL.
It's a patchwork offensive line.
Well, it's four of five linemen are new from last season. And that often just, no matter what's going to take part of the year for them to even learn how to play together. And then by then, Carolina will figure out that at least two of them don't belong on that line.
And it's exacerbated by the fact that Cam Newton isn't moving well right now. And now he has a fractured rib on top of the ankle.
So they're going to win games like 9-8.
Our power poll, that's when we aggregate all our rankings, including Kevin Patra, our Chicago correspondent, actually had the Panthers as the number two team in this division, the Falcons and the number nine team in the NFC, the Falcons number 11, and the Buccaneers bringing up the rear at 13. I think all these teams are ranked a little too low in our rankings. I think at the end of the year, we could be talking about this as the best division in football, because the Buccaneers, they could be pretty spunky. I mean, them and the Vikings are kind of the two NFC teams I like that aren't getting picked to go to the playoffs too much, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if they have that sort of 10-6 type of year.
I like that the Bucs have some difference makers. Lavonte David and Gerald McCoy are, you know, arguably the best at their positions. Vincent Jackson's great. Doug Martin's good. I believe in Josh McCown. I think it's a very shallow roster overall, though. There's no depth on either side of the ball if a starter gets hurt.
Did we maybe get freaked by what we saw in the first preseason game or two where Josh McCown was just getting swarmed by – I mean, their line is an issue.
We didn't just get freaked. The Bucs got freaked. They've had Richie Incognito coming in there.
Well, they have reason to be concerned.
Just to snow the Patriots.
Right. McCown isn't necessarily a quick-release quarterback either. So it's – you know, you do wonder – that offense has been shrouded in mystery all offseason, but – we just don't know what we're going to get.
I love the Lovie Smith hire, and I think they could be a top five defense right now. So if you have,
he inherited that potentially too.
Right, but he's a good defensive coach on top of that. So he's a good defensive coach inheriting a lot of talent. You have a top five defense. You can maybe get a little lucky with some, you know, McCown magic at the end of games or something and you know, win nine games. All right, so we have the Buccaneers in last place. We love the Saints, obviously. Let's go through each team and decide if they're a candidate for the team of the NFL podcast. Is that even, what are we called? It sounds so strange.
This needs work, the title.
Yes.
We'll come up with something.
All right. The Saints, do we want to consider them? You guys do have them as the top team in the league.
They play in a dome, and they are a Super Bowl favorite. But I'm sending them right on through to the next round. They're that much fun to watch.
I'll send them through.
You guys had number one. And, yeah, I lived in New Orleans. I've enjoyed that.
Who doesn't love New Orleans?
Victory. Best place in America.
Send them through.
New Orleans. All right. The Bucks. I'd like to send the Bucks through.
I could send them through.
Okay.
All right. And then we have the Falcons, who, despite being on Hard Knocks, not really getting me excited.
They play in a dome, and it might be Mark's least favorite stadium in the NFL.
It is, but I don't dislike the team necessarily. It's just not an automatic veto for me, but they're not going to win out against the other teams that we've already put through.
Here's the thing.
Plus, it'll be extremely confusing since you guys are trying to figure out this whole team of ATL, ATN thing.
That is a very fun point.
Great point.
Too much.
All right, forget about the Falcons.
That just killed them. Thanks, TD.
And let's talk about the Panthers real quickly. They were our team last year. We have to consider the fact that we might not actually pick our team until a couple weeks into the season. So do we want to eliminate them right now just because Cam Newton's injured?
I would say that an ongoing rule that the previous year's team automatically gets through this round.
They get grandfathered in.
All right. We're just killing the Falcons right now. Seven teams through out of the last two divisions, right? Or no, we got rid of the Lions, so six teams. So far, six in the NFC. That's all right. Let's move on to the final division, the NFC West. Everyone seems to think it's the best division in football. I guess I would agree with that, although the other two teams in the NFC, the North and the South, are pretty good too. Did you think at all about not making the Seahawks the division winner?
Not for one second.
Neither for one second. Not even one.
Yeah, me neither. Could they be a 15-1 type of team again?
Yes.
Why are we so convinced there's not going to be the Super Bowl drop-off that seemingly every champion has had lately?
They don't operate that way, in my opinion. I remember teams from my youth, like when the Giants won in 86, and then just something caught up to them, whether it was hubris or just disorganization, the whole thing collapsed. There was a strike that year. Every year, something seems to happen with the champions where they chemically change a little bit. Seattle, to me, nothing's changed. And watching their preseason and the way they operate, they are a 15-1 type operation. That team is awesome.
And yet you think the Saints are better.
Well, there is a dilemma because we are probably suggesting that New Orleans has to go into Seattle.
No,
in
I'm
a
not
title
suggesting
game.
That. I think Saints finish with a better regular season record. That's the only reason I have them in the Super Bowl, because I think whichever of these two teams gets home field advantage will win. Hmm. The Seahawks, I don't think, will go 15-1. As we've pointed out innumerable times on this podcast, they are an unbelievably historically great team at home, and they're not unbelievably historically great on the road. Right. They can be beaten.
Right, and they're still fallible. It's a football team. It's not. We've built them up at this point. It wasn't that
they
long
almost
ago.
Lost
that
they lost to the Bucs at home.
They
year.
Did lose at home late in the season to Carson Palmer, who threw four interceptions at home. So things happen.
One thing, though, I think what we're discounting, though, is that this isn't a team at the peak heading towards decline phase. There's a lot of young players getting better in Seattle. I think Russell Wilson's going to host an expanded offense.
I think he'll get better.
I really do think that Seattle is not – we've not seen the best from them.
I think the Cardinals won that game because Russell Wilson was in a month-long slump, and I don't think we'll see that this year. I think you're right about the expanded offense. Bucky Brooks has written about this. They're going to open the playbook. Percy Harvin will be used creatively, more creatively than he ever was in Minnesota. Even though it's the same offensive coordinator, I believe they have bigger plans for him. I just think the offense is way better than it was last year. The defense, they lost some veteran bodies. It doesn't matter because they are so deep. It doesn't matter. They're so deep, they're just going to bring in guys who are even better. They've got guys like O'Brien Schofield, a Cardinals reject, just terrorizing quarterbacks right now.
We had the 49ers as a group, number four in the NFC. You two had them in the playoffs, so did Kevin Patra. I have them out of the playoffs. I think just too many things are going to go wrong for them, maybe have some drama, and they'll just get squeezed out in a very, very good division and conference. You know, they might end up with a 9-7 record and just miss out. So we have the 49ers fourth in our power poll, though, as a group. Cardinals fifth. I have the Cardinals in the playoffs. Mark Sessler has the Cardinals in the playoffs. I like it. We're in step. Join me in my Cardinals fever.
I'm a big believer in Bruce Arians, and I get that the defense has issues, but we've seen so many teams make the playoffs with troubled defenses. offense leads the day. And I really think that Arizona's gone out and improved. They've gotten faster. They've got one of the deeper wide receiver groups in the entire conference. Arians knows how to coach up his quarterbacks, and he knows how to call a great scheme. I think that Arizona is going to equal its win total from last season.
Mm. I think that the only case you got to make for, or I'm making for them, is their offensive gains will make up for what they lost on defense.
Yeah, it's an issue.
To me, there's not much difference between the Cowboys and the Cardinals right now. The Cardinals have a slightly better defense. They've lost way too much talent on that defense. And Carson Palmer can't be trusted as much as Tony Romo. Both of them will be in shootouts, I think.
But you are right that they've lost a lot of talent on their defense. But let's compare that defense to the team you talked about, like the Cowboys or the Falcons. We couldn't come up with a player that's a difference maker. On their defense, they have Calais Campbell, who's one of the very best at his position in the league. You have John Abraham, getting older, but at least was a factor last year.
Suspended, probably.
For a short time.
And 36 years old, I would not count on John Abraham.
He's probably not
the
guy.
They have no pass rusher behind John Abraham.
Right. They have Calais Campbell, who's good. I'm just saying.
They have Patrick Peterson and Calais Campbell.
You have Patrick Peterson. You hopefully get Honey Badger back.
Yeah, I'm not counting on him being Honey Badger.
But there is more talent than anything Dallas can
boast. They like their first-round pick, Buchanan. I'm just saying there is some talent.
But out of all of these two teams, according to you, the Cowboys have the best defensive player in Henry Melton.
Stop. Henry Melton.
You love Henry Melton.
I do like Henry Melton.
The big problem for Arizona and the reason that my prediction could look obscene 3 months from now is that, well, let's be humble. It could be a complete disaster. The Cowboys play in the NFC East where they're going to just pick up wins off of other bad teams. You can't do that in the West. And on top of it, they're playing the Broncos and they're playing the rest of the AFC West, which has the Chargers.
If the 49ers...
Right. It's a tough schedule.
No, you're right.
If the 49ers go down the rabbit hole like Greg suggests, this is not nearly the best division in football. The Rams, I don't understand why people thought they were good in the first place. Now they lost their starting quarterback. They have question marks at almost every position on offense, outside of quarterback.
I would think they're in the mix as the worst team in the conference if I didn't sort of see this as such. Isn't it such a Jeff Fisher season? Like, when things were totally wrong for him in Tennessee, that was when he would do his best, and they would they would just have an 8-8 type of year. I'm just saying his teams don't tend to collapse. They tend to fight through bad situations.
I remember
situations.
Jeff Fisher's best teams being when Steve McNair and Eddie George were unbelievable and Chris Johnson was rushing for 2,000 yards.
I'm thinking I'm thinking not his best teams, but I think some of his best coaching performances were rising some of those late Titans teams in the late, 2000s with Vince Young and Kerry Collins. I mean, they had a number two seed, right, with Kerry Collins as their quarterback. That's pretty amazing.
That's not a coach that panics. I mean, he's been here before. I think the Rams, to me, are a team that if they win six, seven games, a couple are going to come inside the division. And they're going to pick off one or two division teams. I don't think this is in any way not still the best division in football. We can talk about the 49ers falling off a cliff, but that hasn't happened yet.
Right. I'm the only one talking about it. You guys have them in the playoffs, as do most people, and I don't think they're going to fall off a cliff. I do think their offensive line, it's weird how bad they struggled in the preseason. We'll see if that really carries over. The defense is the bigger problem, losing a lot of talent. Mm. I mean, Aldon Smith, you can't just replace Aldon Smith. We're waiting to hear his suspension. You can't just replace Navarro Bowman. Those are two of the best 20 or 10 defensive players in the league.
No doubt. But
those guys will be back in time. See, that's...
They'll have time to do what the offense did last year.
Bowman might not be the same guy, though.
That's
fair. I mean, he's coming off a pretty bad injury.
But didn't we see this last year with Von Miller and other players where it's like, here in August, when someone's out for 6 weeks, our vantage point is of a freakout. How do they succeed?
True.
But then it's November, the guy's been back for four weeks, and you forget about it.
We told people in last August not to worry one bit about Von Miller because the Broncos were that much better than everybody in the AFC.
But in general...
We can't say that about the 49ers.
That's fair, but in general, when we look at these suspensions, we can overreact to them. It's a long, long season.
True.
That's true. They're going to get Aldon Smith back. Their schedule early in the season is pretty difficult. They open... Actually, it's pretty generous. They open in Dallas. Then they're home for Chicago at Arizona. You got the Eagles and the Chiefs. It's manageable. Then they're at the Rams. That's manageable to go 4-2 early, something like that. And then, you know, we don't know when Smith will
be back. And if people are concerned about this offense, if after 3 weeks we still are against those defenses, then we know there's issues.
All right. Well, let's go through this division and decide which teams are still alive as the team of the NFL podcast. Any way we throw the defending champs into the mix?
I would throw the whole division out.
Throw the whole division out? What? Well, now that I think about it, the Cardinals, I would really push hard to push forward.
I want to push the Cardinals forward, too.
Give the Cardinals a chance, Wes. You love Bruce Arians. You love John Brown. You love Larry Fitzgerald. You love Michael Floyd. This is a down. You love downtrodden fan bases. Don't they deserve something?
All right, that's an impassioned speech, and I'm behind you on that one.
All right, so we're going to keep the Cardinals and eliminate the rest of the division. You're gone. All right, also gone from the show, me. I'm going to leave and let you guys talk.
Hey, gone.
Got to let you guys talk to John Beeson. I know we're running a little long. So I got to get out of here, go to some high-octane meetings, corporate things, and I'll let you guys handle that. And
Shane, Mark, and I weren't invited to
Well,
that.
We did get a note that Beeson was uncomfortable speaking with Greg.
Yeah.
That's really what's going on here. So,
why would that be?
I don't know. I just made that up.
All right. I'll see you guys later. Have fun with John.
All right.
All right. We're very excited about this, Chris. I'm sitting here with Chris Wessling, and we have a chance today to interview one of the league's premier linebackers for a period of time now, John Beeson, the former first-round pick of the Carolina Panthers out of Miami, now currently with the New York Giants. John, thanks so much for joining us today. How are things going?
They're going great, man. Just hanging out here, doing this Duracell appearance with the Giants and at MetLife Stadium. It's going well.
Now, are you at MetLife Stadium at the moment?
At the moment, yep.
Very nice.
In the flesh.
You guys are getting close to the regular season starting. I think one of the for us covering all 32 teams, it seems like with New York, one of the issues and one of the narratives that's bubbled up is with the new offense. Eli Manning's been in the same offense forever. You practice against this new Ben McAdoo outfit, all summer long, every day. What is your take? It seems like things to the outside have not gone incredibly smoothly.
Well, I think everybody needs to kind of, pump the brakes a little bit. If you put too much stock into the preseason, you'll get fooled every time. You look at a team that could win every preseason game and have an awful year, and a team lose every game and then turn around and win the Super Bowl. So, you want to go out and you want to see some execution, and you want to see guys, just go out and tackle and block, the basic fundamentals of football. And, I think we've done that for the most part. And once the season starts, you'll see an offense that's going to open up when you start scheming and game planning against opposing defenses. Having seen the offense and what they've been able to do in terms of being innovative and moving guys around and getting guys involved and creating mismatches, it's been extremely impressive. I think it's going to be a very, very difficult offense to play against, and I'm looking forward to that part of it, the actual game planning that goes into the regular season. Right now we're just not trying to show anything. That's my take on it, honestly.
Hey, John, the Giants defense gave up about 35 points a game through 6 weeks last season, and then they traded for you and got Will Hill back from suspension. It had to be a little bit more complex than that, right? Like, what was it that turned that defense around last year?
Well, when I showed up, I looked around the room, and I was saying to myself, I was like, wow, there's talent at every position. Why not? And it didn't make sense, but, we just kind of, took a step back, everybody collectively, and instead of, trying to figure out why not, just look at yourself, Start with yourself. What's the scheme? What's the call? Are you doing your job at a consistent level? How often are you making plays, within the confines of the scheme? And that was really the difference. Guys just bought into the call, and you get guys on the same page. It's scary because now that's where, your true talent and ability can be displayed.
It must have been a tad bittersweet for you to leave Carolina and that happens to be the season that, bang, you know, they with Cam Newton, they end up in the playoffs. They had a very nice season last year. That front seven is nasty. Looking at their games this year, we've kind of noticed that Cam Newton coming off that ankle surgery, obviously not as mobile in the past. Do you feel, with what you know about his game, him as a pocket passer, can he be as effective a quarterback if he isn't able to use that rushing ability that he has in the past to the same extent?
Well, I think, you know, he obviously he has a talent to stand in the pocket and make all the throws. And I think mentally he's come along extremely fast in terms of, you know, what he's done since his rookie year and, you know, going from one coordinator to the next. But, you know, I still think a big part of his game is his ability to run and scramble. And that's always an outlet for him. It's a safe haven. And, you know, it's something that I think he's going to need to do to be as effective as Cam Newton can be. But, you know, in terms of what they did last year, man, like you said, it was extremely bittersweet. Though I was happy to be, you know, a Giant and in the situation that I was in, I was more pleased with, you know, the guys and how, you know what, you know, we said we're going to do this. We put the work in the off season. Guys sacrificed, you know, tremendously. And to see it all kind of, you know, come to fruition, it was a good sight to see. And, you know, I keep up when I can and talk to those guys when I can, because they're still, you know, still my brothers from afar.
Hey, John, we know in the past you've been really high on Luke Kuechly. You were saying even like last season, you knew he was going to be the defensive leader. Looking around the rest of the league, and I, you know, please do not hesitate to praise another one of your ex-teammates, Thomas Davis, here, but who else are the linebackers you see that are just difference makers in the NFL right now?
Well, you know what, that's the thing, man. You know, you laid that question up for me. I really feel like, you know, Thomas doesn't get the notoriety that he should. I mean, he's, you know, he's a true freak, man. I played with alongside him. You know, we were that, you know, dynamic duo for a long time. And to see what he's been able to do after three ACLs and, you know, how he is the matchup killer. I mean, you know, you take a guy like Jimmy Graham, you put him on one side of the field, and you put, you know, Sproles on the other, and it's like, you know, what are you going to do? Well, you can bring a safety down and cover, you know, Jimmy Graham or Sproles, but, you know, one of the two, you kind of got to pick your poison. But Thomas, you can put on a guy, and he has the ability to just completely neutralize a guy. He's you know, a weapon that doesn't get praised enough, and he's a guy that, you know, if I were talking about, hey, who's the first outside guy I would take, you know, to stand up next to me, you know, he's that guy. He's that special, and he doesn't get enough notoriety.
Real quick, what do you see from Lavonte David? Is he a guy that you're high on as well?
Oh, absolutely. Extremely active. I think his football IQ is through the roof. Based on the type of interceptions he gets, you can tell it's based on film study and knowing route combinations. And then, you know, ability-wise, you can run, match up with anybody, great in space, a consistent tackler. You know, huge fan of his, obviously playing in NFC South for a while. And, you know, he's just burst on the scene, a guy who should have made the Pro Bowl last year but didn't, but then was first-team All-Pro. So it's funny how that works out. You know, another underrated guy, but he is a truly, truly, truly special talent.
Now that you've been in New York for enough time to get to know the locker room, your fellow Giants teammates, if you had to spend, let's say, 6 months alone on a desert island with one Giant, who would it be? Who could you stand being with for that amount of time?
With one Giant. Well, you know what? I've become you know, really close with Stevie Brown. And though I have some really good friends, obviously Antrell, we're extremely close, but Antrell doesn't cook as well as Stevie. Stevie is a chef. This guy's going to be, you know, like Emerald Live real soon when he's done playing ball. He might, you know, get up to about 265 or so, but he's a special special dude, man. Can really cook, and his Instagram is it'll get you hungry, man. So you guys get a chance to check out Stevie Brown's Instagram.
That's very smart of you to pick someone that can prepare food in that scenario. I like that.
Exactly.
And, now, you know, I know you're tied into this Duracell thing. You know, Duracell also sponsors our weekly picks column, which is going to launch here in a couple weeks, where we, our little writing team, week by week, we go through all the games and we try to get those right. I want to ask you a prediction. It's about your Giants. Now, I want you to be honest with me. Let's pretend you were on the outside looking in. Where do the Giants finish in the NFC East, and how do you see this team faring overall? Where are they going this season?
Well, you know what? We realize that we are the hunters, and sometimes it's good, you know, not to have that target on your back. You know, I'm sure Philly is like, you know what? We got a good thing going. We have a good team. We got good pieces, and, you know, we want to build on what we did last year. But everyone keeps talking about it. Everyone keeps talking about it. And you know what? Dallas is taking note, and so is Washington, and so are we. And if you get in a situation where, you know, everyone's gunning for you, you're going to get their best every week. It makes it more difficult. So we're right where we need to be to take care of our business. I it would be hard pressed for me to say that I don't think we're going to win a division, but I know that we have a shot to win it. And you know what? Now it's about the preparation. It's about the sacrifice. It's about the day-to-day grind of just trying to be consistent. And if we do that, I think we're going to be good enough to win a division.
Well, you know, after missing out last year in Carolina, we'd love to see you get that chance to get back to the playoffs. And thank you so much for your time today joining with us. It was a pleasure to talk with you. And just good luck getting out of the MetLife traffic there.
Thanks, man. You guys have a good one.
All right,
thanks,
John. All right. Well, Chris, that was enjoyable, wasn't it?
Yeah, John Beeson, really nice guy.
A very nice fellow. Listen, we're out of time. You got to get back down to the newsroom and crank out some more high-octane posts. I've got to go home. Apologize for that. So everyone's gone, I guess, for Mark Sessler here and the mailman and not a shred of another individual. We'll say farewell.
Whoa, I'm here.
Well, that's right. TD behind the glass. I'm only looking in the immediate room. In the room next to us, TD.
Remind me never to have you host again.
You know, this was a smooth exit until you jumped in there. Goodbye.